Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I got one here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Notice. This midweek mini was recorded several months ago and may not be up to date with current events. For fresh minisode uploads with every episode, head to patreon.com/chilluminatipod.
Two fives.
Ooh, I like that. Welcome to the minisode, gentlemen.
I'm going to
take it right out
you?
The gate. I'm excited for today because I'm reading something that Santel sent me a couple days ago via text. That is one of the most absurd whistleblowers, quote unquote whistleblowers, stories I've ever read. And goes to show that the UFO subreddit will fucking eat anything up. This thing made the rounds in the UFO subreddits for like a good 2 or 3 days. The one weird thing that happened is as this post went up and they were answering questions, their account is and still actively was rather and still actively is shadow banned. The mods made a post. They said they don't because and it's a site wide action. The mods themselves couldn't shadow ban them from the site, only from the subreddit.
What is this about to be? The minute you said Santel,
it is the
I'm
dumbest.
Like, okay.
To me, it's dumb as fuck. And I'm gonna I think you're all gonna really enjoy this because it's like insane. But I don't understand why they would get shadow banned. And like I don't understand what that is because if you click on their profile right now, it just says this account is banned from Reddit. So here it is. This is from 5 days ago. The title of the post was on the subreddit r/UFOs. And the post was called, "You Want a Disclosure. I am a whistleblower recently, quote unquote, retired from the inside. And you're only getting part of the truth." This is buckle up. This might be the
hell
whole mini.
Yes, so. Let's go.
So it goes, "Hi. So I heard y'all want disclosure. All right. Hope you have time for this because there's a lot. Grab a coffee or maybe get comfy with a pillow somewhere. I've been watching the news and hearing a lot of things I know to be true, shockingly, being talked about openly by some higher ups in a documentary, so I figured what the hell. I assume they're referencing Age of Disclosure, which is just like...
Okay, we've seen it, so we would know, kind of.
Yeah, they said, "You can call me Rhea. Not my real name, obviously, but it will do. A little about me. I spent about 8 years in the military to pay for college and then another decade plus in a part of the U.S. intelligence component that does not officially exist. On paper, I worked for a boring sounding office in a department most people have never heard of. In reality, it was a compartment inside a compartment where the odd stuff of a certain nature got routed. My actual specialty is electro-optics. Lasers, sensors, EO imaging systems, the math and hardware behind how we detect things at a distance and, in some cases, put energy on them."
This
that
starts
is what
the it, exact same way as like, "So I know a lot about the upcoming Marvel movie. I work in a department of the editing facility. That
I believe
is like
my shelf behind me speaks for itself. All right.
excuse me, princess. My shelf speaks for itself. That is what I trained in. What I did most of my serious work on once I was off the deployment treadmill. So when I say I know something about directed energy weapons and weird sensor returns, that's not, quote, I heard this from a friend of a friend. That was my day job. Most of my career was boring in the way dangerous jobs are boring. Long days in windowless rooms, Iraq and Afghanistan in the early years, doing the usual mix of SIGINT and HUMINT support," all capitalized. I
imagine both characters from Metal Gear Solid. Just kidding.
Yes, correct. "Phone records, pattern of life workups, building target packets on people who'd never know my name but might notice a drone overhead later. After I got out of uniform, I slid over to contractor work, then got pulled into the permanent government side.
So good writer. So like good grammar
to
and
a point. Yeah. I'll get to it. We'll get to it. Yeah. It gets weirdly, I don't know. Well, I don't want to jump ahead of myself.
Okay.
For a long time, my world was very normal. Counterterrorism, sanctions evasions, shady cargo going through weird ports, stuff like that. After that, foreign missile tests and what you have probably seen described publicly as space domain awareness, basically watching dots move around the sky and trying to decide whose dots they were and what they were doing. The weird part started when I was detailed to a small intra-agency working group looking at what was called, quote, anomalous aerospace and undersea systems. Translation, things detected and showing up on sensors that did not match any known platform, did not behave like clutter, and did not go away when you changed radar modes or swapped optical systems. I was there because I understood both sides of the equation, the physics of the sensors and the intelligence context. You get taught very quickly to treat anything unexplained as a glitch, a calibration issue, operator error, software artifacts, anything that keeps your world tidy. You get used to hearing weird glitch as a catch-all. Except after a while, you notice some of those glitches kept showing up across different systems, different countries, decades apart. Same behaviors, same basic locations, same signature that never quite fits. At some point, you either admit there's a real problem. At some point, you either admit that there is a real pattern, or you drive yourself crazy trying not to see it. If you are useful and you start asking the wrong questions for long enough, someone eventually pulls you aside, takes you to a skiff, takes your phone, has you sign your life away again, and shows you the next layer of the onion. This onion goes so deep, I doubt that even after years of briefings, I've been exposed to anything below a few layers. Even still, most of this is purposefully kept off of NIPR and JWICS and is done in person. That is where I learned about most of what you're interested in here and what seems to be bubbling to the surface in the news lately. That when I learned about what we call the council. Yes, aliens. Okay. And I suspect, Alex, yes.
We're just getting into like where it becomes like a Michael J. Anderson.
Yeah,
it's fine.
We keep going, right?
Yeah.
So yes, aliens. And I suspect you're not likely to see a lot of what I know mentioned even by some who know it, who have begun speaking out for reasons I'll get into later. I've never met them face to face. Everything I know about them is from briefings, documents, and one secure video session that I honestly wish I had skipped. But it lines up with too many independent data points to just shrug off as somebody's pet theory. The basic story is this. Earth was noticed roughly 2 billion years ago.
Yes. Long-
yeah,
yes.
Here we go.
I am so hyped for getting the backstory, dude.
Yeah, dude. We're getting everything. This is everything.
Yes.
Earth was noticed.
Jupiter ascending.
Yeah, it might be. Earth was noticed roughly 2 billion years ago, long before anything walked around on land. Not because we're special, but because we tripped a sensor. Or rather, life tripped their sensors. You see, the Council is not a single species. It is a collective of several advanced interstellar, maybe even interdimensional civilizations that run long-term surveys of stars and planets the way we run spy satellites.
A covenant, if you will.
A sort of covenant, if you will.
Yes! This, yes!
The Council actually fits because as we go, it feels more and more Mass Effect. Rather
do you think
than
one of the guys has the same voice as the dude from The Crow who was the bad guy?
Do you think one of them is just dead ass fucking Kirk Douglas or whatever? No, Martin Sheen.
Oh, yeah, they get, dude. Anyway, huge distributed arrays of instruments working together, watching thousands of star systems at once for millions of years at a time. Their gear probably makes the James Webb. Their gear probably makes the James Webb telescope look like a kid's backyard telescope. Which is such a weird thing to even phrase that way to me. Like, their gear probably makes the James Webb telescope look like, of course it would.
Why
would
you even say probably? If it can detect life over a quarter of the galaxy,
2 billion years, literally. It
definitely dwarfs the James Webb, yeah.
About 2 billion years ago, those instruments picked up biosignatures here, chemical fingerprints in the atmosphere that meant something was alive here. Atmospheric composition like free oxygen and methane, spectral fingerprints, chemical disequilibria that scream, there's metabolism happening down there, you know, the basics. At that point, Earth went into a database as, quote, interesting, revisit later.
And this then is- that database lasted for 2 billion years.
You're correct, actually, though. But that's the, they'll even make the point of like, our, the way we think in terms of like time scales is too small. Which I can maybe understand, but...
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Standard from like a Toy Story them, perspective, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Standard procedure for them when a world looks promising is pretty boring from their point of view. They send automated probes, not big crude ships like you see in sci-fi movies, just small, tough, very smart machines. Those probes come in, mostly target the oceans, and set up self-replicating facilities on the seafloor. Those facilities use local materials to build more facilities, more probes, craft that can operate underwater, in the air, in near space, and eventually avatars that can interact with whatever life evolves. These biological, or rather biomechanical, avatars are what some people who claim to have been abducted have likely experienced.
So this is literally also literally what Avatar is from the movie Avatar, for the record.
But also, it is a theory that the Greys are biomechanical in nature.
Sure.
And like
the way they're just the way that they're contextualizing it here specifically, it using the word way. Avatar is yeah. the exact same way that we investigate and talk to the Na'vi that yes. exist yeah. on
you
the planet
actually,
Pandora.
Yes. Correct. Dude, soft disclosure. Avatar.
Fuck off. He wrote that when he was 15.
Yeah, but the new one's making when he's an adult.
Right. And that means that real life is like Zelda, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Just like sure. Zelda, actually. Yeah. Though they do have what we would call ASI, these beings are not gods. They are technology and they aren't perfect. They make mistakes, glitch out, etc. The reason they base all of that underwater is for a simple reason. The bottom of an ocean does not care about ice ages, political empires, climate swings, or wars. Temperatures and pressures change slowly over what long periods of time. It's a fairly stable environment for much of human history has been mostly inaccessible.
2 billion years? Everything has changed.
Not at the bottom of the ocean.
Haven't all the continents?
I wonder what a scientist would say about
haven't
that.
All the continents moved? Like, how long ago was the dinosaurs?
Yeah, but I imagine they could move.
Two
I don't know.
Billion versus 65 million.
Million?
Yes.
Pangea and stuff. The bottom of the ocean would have moved.
All right. Well, whatever. We'll get into it.
Unless we're about to find out there's like one spot.
No.
It's called the Mariana's Trench.
It's the same place all the sharks
go to bone.
Where
they've always been. Yeah.
Maybe. Who fucking knows, dude? Maybe that's where they are. The reason they base it all on the water, blah, 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 yeah, yeah. Speaking of time, we Earth humans tend to think in terms of nothing longer than the current human lifespan. And when pondering non-human intelligence, we like to think in terms of deep space, distance, and light years, but we seldom consider the lifespan and concept of time for a post-biological species that could be rather different than our own. Only our most astute thinkers in the realms of geology, paleontology, and cosmology think in terms of millions or billions of years. Geologic epochs, cosmological history. That's child play for the council, which is a different concept of time, more concerned with deep time, millions of years at a stretch. As such, their infrastructure is designed for that.
So this is the arrival, this part.
I've never seen the movie, so
okay,
maybe.
Well, spoilers.
So yes, a lot of TMOs, transmedium objects, and impossible accelerations you have heard about are just their hardware doing its job. Maintenance, observation, sampling, nothing heroic. The warp bubble, Ecclubier effect, I don't know, the Ecclubier effect I think is like a gravitation thing, was probably mastered by them before our solar system even existed. It's old tech for them, kind of like the wheel is for us. Also, no, we are not the center of anyone's universe. There are about a billion planets in our galaxy that are more or less like Earth. Some just have microbes, some have more complex life. A smaller subset of those have or once had civilizations. We are just one more entry, a fairly recent one in cosmological terms, in a very large survey. Once early humans started doing interesting things, we moved from planet with life to planet with potential. They have watched the same story unfold in slightly different ways around 1,000 times from what I understand. Chemistry leads to biology. Biology creates technology, tool use, language, agriculture, cities, industry, energy, space travel. Somewhere in there, you always hit the same fork. Either the species figures out how to not blow itself into pieces with the energy densities it increasingly has access to, such as nuclear fission, nuclear fusion, antimatter, and more exotic matter, energy, or it wipes itself out. Our situation worried them. We are a little paradox, extremely good at cooperation and also extremely good at organized violence. Our aggression stood out. Cooperation plus violence isn't unique,
the day
but we're
the earth
very, very
still?
Good at both. Huh?
The day the earth stood still is where we're at right now.
This
by the
is
way.
Like yeah. some best of sci-fi novel stuff.
It literally
here for
is.
It.
So we're extremely good at both. Our aggression stood out, cooperation plus violence is yeah. And once you get to things like nuclear power, that combo tends to end very badly. They'd seen plenty of variations of that play out over at least a few billion years. About 10,000 years ago, our trajectory towards that became clear.
10,000 years ago?
Well, wait till you, dude, just hold on to your pants, brother. About 10,000 years ago, our trajectory towards that became clear, and there was a major
the
argument.
The math checks out.
Yeah, and there was a major argument inside the council about what, if anything, to do with us. One side said the odds favored self-destruction once we discovered and weaponized atomic-level technologies. The other side argued we were worth saving, or at least worth understanding better. The compromise was an experiment. Their compromise was to do an experiment, one which has ramifications as to why all of this has been hidden for so long. Roughly 65,000 humans were removed from Earth and relocated to what is basically a preserve on a planet around yes. the star.
Yes.
So when we were cavemen,
yes,
they were like, these guys are gonna these guys are gonna nuke themselves for sure. So let's do
well,
this.
I guess they just
so yes,
yeah, I guess they saw in our caveman era
65,000 cavemen into space to form a caveman colony.
Well, I guess it makes sense to say, not just the nuclear part, but to say even during caveman era, they could probably see we were really good at cooperating a society, but we were also wildly violent against other tribes that weren't of where you belong to, right?
And atomic weapons are like a universal technology.
I guess that's the jump for me where I'm like, that's a little bit, okay, I guess they just know.
I have trouble believing that at 10,000 years before we invent the nuke.
Well, this is an experiment they're doing, okay? This is what okay. they're doing.
All right. Yeah, right.
So
okay.
The Arids. so you know what we're talking about?
No, you just said this.
I said Arids already?
Oh, maybe 82.
No, I did not. I definitely did not, but that is actually their name. What the fuck? I did not say Arids, dude.
Eridani?
So, no, I didn't even finish the sentence to what star they were around. So,
Alex, are you from space?
Roughly 60. Go back and listen. Maybe I did. I don't think I did. Roughly 65,000 humans were removed from Earth and relocated to what is basically a preserve on a planet around the star you know as 82 Eridani. That's what we label the star
as
today.
Yeah, as we
it's
know
a real
it.
Star.
I thought that you already said all of this, but maybe I just read it. I don't know.
Maybe you've read this. Maybe
no,
you read
I'm
this
literally
five
I'm looking
days
at
ago.
It right now. I'm look. I'm reading
okay,
it along
okay,
with you.
Okay. So yeah, you probably read ahead then. Internally, we called these people Arids. That star is in our catalog if you feel like looking it up, but the details of the target planet are not public for obvious reasons. The Arids were started in a kind of controlled paradise. Their world has large dispenser systems that can produce whatever basic material needs they have. Food, clothing, tools, building materials, entire structures for habitation.
So they're in creative mode?
They're in creative mode. Yes, they're in creative mode. And then they go on to say, think Star Trek replicators scaled up and wired into the environment. So to me, that says it draws the whatever like supplies it needs from the environment. So wouldn't that still harm the planet? I don't understand. Anyway. In that setup, nobody starves, nobody is homeless in the way that we understand it, nobody spends their life chasing money just to meet ends meet. This is just the Arid's natural reality. The point from the council's view was to remove material scarcity from the equation and see what humans do and achieve when they are not spending most of their energy bashing each other over the head over resources. Meanwhile, the rest of us stayed here on the control planet, dealing with scarcity, ownership, money, hoarding, and the rise of sociopolitical systems based on scarcity. All the things that define Earth civilization. The result of the experiment, according to what we were briefed, is that the Arids are now around 5,000 years ahead of us technologically.
Love
averaged
it.
Out.
Yes.
So they just, so they're in like floating.
They're like in SimCity 3000.
They're
floating
in like
buildings.
CG floating. City.
Yes, they're living yeah. the better life because they were given everything. Yep. And this is the best kind of sci-fi. I'm absolutely
all little Advent
this.
Rising feeling. You ever play Advent yes. Rising back in
yes,
the day?
Yes, yes, yes.
Same species, same basic biology, same starting point, completely different trajectory because of conditions. Nature versus nurture on a cosmic scale. For most of their history, the Arids thought they were native to that world. They only found out the truth roughly a century ago in our time. They learned that they were uplifted, that their ancestors were taken from Earth, and that they have cousins here. Once they knew that, some of them started coming back to visit the original branch. This is where their history intersects the sum of the UFO stories you know. The aliens that look almost exactly human are just that, human. They're not hybrids, they're not clones, not secretly angels or demons. They are Arids, born around another star, showing up here after being given a 10,000-year head start. They have, in some cases, met with leaders of certain countries and at least two UN security generals who are both now deceased. Now we get to why this has been buried for 80-some years. I think you're going to love. This is so fucking stupid.
No, this...
Tell me they're potheads.
This is... I can't tell if this is perfectly timed with the movie that came out. And this is just someone who watched the movie and like it wants to tell their own story, or if they genuinely just want to like craft this world. But frankly, this is great world building.
What movie?
The person who wrote this got shadow banned, which means their replies are not showing. I don't understand why that would be the case. You know what I mean?
I
don't know. I
love this.
Now you have so this. Now we get to the reason why this has been buried for 80 some odd years. You have to think like a senior U.S. official in the 1940s and 1950s. World War II has just ended. The Cold War is starting. Everything is viewed through capitalism versus communism.
Oh my then, fucking God.
Then
don't you
someone
even
puts a brief.
That is fucking stupid. Okay.
Dude, this rocks. This is ridiculous.
I know what then, you're about to say.
Someone puts a briefing in front of you that says, in essence, there is a group of humans living on another world who have no
socialism.
Money. No private ownership yeah. in the way we structure it. Automatic systems that meet their basic needs. And in that environment, they advance thousands of years faster than we have. The men who built what we now call the legacy program in the U.S. that sounded less like interesting anthropological data and more like a walking, talking advertisement for space communism.
This goes all the way.
So this is why they hid it from us is communism.
This goes
dude.
All the way to the MAGA oligarchs.
It really does. It looked like proof that communism works better than the system they were trying to defend. That and the ramifications of what could happen if that ever got out terrified them more than the existence of aliens did. Though to be fair, they plenty had their worldview rocked by the latter two. So the core of the cover-up has never just been aliens or even their technologies. It has been the systemic implications, the idea that scarcity and ownership are not hard-coded into reality, that they are only one possible way to run a society, and maybe not the optimal one. That was seen as an existential political threat in the 1940s and 50s, and some of the people who grew up in that mindset are still steering parts of the program today. Now add in the famous crash retrieval incidents, Roswell in 47, Kecksburg in 65, a handful of other retrievals around the U.S. and around the world, what we were told is that most of these were not accidents. They were tests and gifts. The council, with Arid input, allowed certain craft and systems to fall into human hands in a controlled way. Enough intact technology that a very motivated and capable society could learn from it, not enough that it would instantly rewrite everything. In fact, the Kecksburg landing, it wasn't called a crash internally, was actually a result of a meeting and gift agreement made at Holloman Air Force Base the year prior. The idea was to see who did what with it, who could figure it out, who kept it secret, who tried to share, who tried to weaponize it, who panicked. And based on those results, the plan was to pick one primary human partner to act as the main interface for full council contact and to begin a managed process of reunifying Earth humans with the Arids and introducing us to the wider community.
Isn't this kind of like that story where we sent a group of people to go live on another planet for a while?
Serpo? Project Serpo? Obama went with them. Yeah, that's when little teenage Obama went there. And they
he was like Tommy Lee Jones in Men in Black when he puts the flower. Yeah, and they
saw that the couple of like who was like 50 some odd years old who've been living on that planet from left Earth like 20 decades ago, and they had like weird tennis courts and stuff. Yeah. Sounds like that. Now you can argue whether that is a good way to do it. I'm just telling you that this is the framework I saw laid out. In the 1980s and 90s, during a brief period when the Cold War ended, there was a push to finally disclose much of this. This was initially proposed at a meeting between the U.S. President Ronald Reagan and then Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev at a summit in Reykjavik, Iceland in 1986. This is the only town I've ever been to, Reykjavik. I was stuck there for 4 days during a blizzard.
For what purpose?
I had gotten flown out to Sweden for a Paradox event. When you fly Iceland Air, they always lay over in Iceland. So on my way back, there was a blizzard in Boston and in Iceland. And I got grounded in Iceland, and I had to, all of us who were on that flight back got stuck in Iceland for 4 days, and we got treated to go check out like the Eve developer's office, and
that sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah,
it was super fun, and I got to eat shark? I think some weird fish I never had before. Iceland was beautiful. Iceland was fucking beautiful. It's like beautiful desolation.
It's perfect. Iceland. It's like Death Stranding. It looks like.
Yes, it's such a Death Stranding place. Yeah. Also discussed was getting rid of nuclear weapons, as had been urged by the council. In the end, it was decided to wait. There were two more U.S. pushes for disclosure between then and the 2017 New York Times article, one during the Clinton administration and another during the transition between the Obama and first Trump presidency. Now, for the part that put a clock on all this stuff that you've been hearing about 2027. About 3 years ago, dude, it gets crazier. Just be ready. About 3 years ago, a species that is hostile to the council found out about the Earth Project.
Klingons.
The flood?
Yeah.
They are not part of the collective. They resent the way the council handles in younger civilizations, as they themselves felt victimized by the council.
Oh, damn. They're here to liberate us from the council, dude?
Maybe not liberate us from the council.
On. Do you think... The Speaker of Humanity will be a nondescript, kind of plain, but very energetic young woman. And the council alien will have like a hot elfy looking dude. But then maybe. The rebel alien, he'll be kind of like a dark elfy looking dude. And they'll both be into her, but she's like, I don't know who to pick. And then she'll like hook up with both of them. But it's like, will they, won't they in this love triangle thing? And like, really, at the end of the day, it's not about the council, but it's about the girl.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm trying to understand the reference.
That's every book written in the last 20 years.
Gotcha. Fair enough.
It's Twilight. It's
Yeah.
It's a lot of things.
Continuing on.
Hunger Games.
They also Divergent. Resent. Yeah, okay, I got it. You're right. They also resent the credit Maze the council Runner. Gets for successful, quote unquote, cases. I have heard them described as the jealous neighbors who would rather break your toys than watch you win. Yes. We sometimes joke about this stuff because, again, it's the only way to stay sane when this everyday knowledge and then integrate it into your civilian life of Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas shopping, taking the kids to soccer practice, etc. Just as an aside, ever consider how two of the biggest holidays of the year involve gluttony, Thanksgiving, and overconsumption, Black Friday? When you have the knowledge many have within the program, stuff that is taken for granted really seems really weird and a symptom of the now forced scarcity of our current system. I don't know what that last point was there. It's more like a personal jab at
They're kind of just saying like it's you wouldn't have things like Thanksgiving and Black Friday if there wasn't like lack of things.
Yeah, we love those holidays too much to like it would shock us.
It's that we have them in the first place because the idea of having a lot is like special to us when it shouldn't be.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That clicks a lot better now. Thanks, Alex. Anyway, back to the aliens. The hostile group I mentioned decided to spoil the experiment. This species is ahead of us technologically, but far behind the Council. Though they also inhabit a relatively nearby star, cosmologically speaking, their travel is slower, less elegant, and has to take place in stages. Think of it as space island hopping, which is why the lead time is so long. You probably want to know what they look like. Physically, based on the descriptions we saw, they are about 5 feet tall, with segmented bodies, multiple limbs, basically ant-like in overall form, nothing subtle or even humanoid about them.
The mantids.
Yeah, the mantids, starship troopers. They launched an expedition toward Earth with the stated goal of making a mess. Cause chaos here, damage the experiment, and embarrass the Council by showing they cannot protect their own projects due to internal disagreements. Basically exploiting internal fissures, turning small cracks of understanding in the Council into canyons, thus destroying it. That's their hope, at least. The transmit time means for us, they are expected to arrive in roughly 2 years from now, the 2027 holiday present no one asked for. The news triggered a major debate within the Council. One group said the rules say non-interference. We watch and record what happens, even if it's ugly, as we had done in the past. The other group said we effectively created this situation by tagging and monitoring this world. We have a moral obligation not to just watch a civilization we have been studying get smashed by somebody else's grudge. If the Council showed up in force, it would not be much of a fight. Their technology relative to the ant species is like a modern carrier group versus skilled archers on sailboats. The whole thing would be over quickly, and it would also completely blow the point of letting a young species find its own way. It would also be a tremendous blow to the human ego, which the Council is well aware of. So they arrived at a compromise. No direct Council fleets defending Earth, no obvious intervention, and instead, they would quietly arm us. And this was the point where, like, I was already out, but that last bit, I'm like, oh, this is completely fake. Because in their own paragraph, they say the Council is, like, light years ahead technologically of the ant species. But they don't want to defend us because if they see us around Earth, we would freak out. So, and they also describe the ant as island hopping, the ants. So why wouldn't they just intercept them
and kill them
before they get anywhere near us? And we would A, never know, and we could keep being the experiment, and B, you'd stop the, like, it logically is completely
bureaucracy
broken.
That's what the ants are against, the bureaucracy, the council.
If we're getting uplifted from one bureaucracy to another, I don't want it.
Yes, leave us alone. The ants are make ants great again. God, they're the MAGA ants, and they're literally
just the exact thing that's happening in America right now. It's literally tied. The people that don't want people to have student loans, it's like literally like an allegory at this point. It's like true science fiction.
Yes. It's so fuck. Yeah. And there's no internal logic. And then we go on. Also, not to mention this person said they had like two or three meetings or briefings and then one video and that was it. And they know about the council's inner debates. It makes no sense how they know all this shit. Anyway, what they chose to give us are things that they roughly call scalar phase weapons. Our vocabulary is not great here. They are not just high powered lasers. They interact with fields we do not fully understand or really have names for yet, shift phases, dump huge amounts of energy from the vacuum into very specific volumes of space-time without a conventional bright beam or explosion. Compared to our current directed energy weapons, they are an enormous leap. As someone who spent years working with lasers and optic systems, I could tell you they sit so far off of our current tech tree that if you saw the damage assessments from a pulse without context, you would think they were misprints. But compared to council weapons, they are Nerf guns, training wheels per se. Also, holy doesn't make any sense why the council would give this to us when they are so terrified of ourselves nuking each other out of existence. Why would you give us something that we could just vaporize
this government?
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, why would you give the government that's invading its own cities pulse rifles?
It makes no fucking sense. Anyway, that decision set off another big argument, both among them and among us. The obvious concern was simple.
Here we go.
Once the external threat is gone, what stops us from turning these things on each other the same way we took nuclear power and turn them into warheads? On the U.S. side, there were people saying exactly that. And some members of the council argued that if we on Earth roll out scalar systems across arsenals, the first real test after the bugs are gone will likely be some crisis where two human governments start lighting each other up with technology that we do not fully understand. Again, they could just intercept the fleet and we wouldn't have to worry about any of this. The counter argument, which won, was a species level survival has to come first. If humanity gets wiped out by someone else's petty feud, then the entire debate is academic. Also, if humans fight this off themselves instead of watching the council show up and save the day, they will meet the wider community as people who actually did something, not as rescued primitives. Human ego stays intact.
Who cares about
kill switch, if you will. No, like, again, not that explanation holds no water. It's fucking nonsense. That is not how it would go in any stretch of the word.
You know what bodies everything? Fucking proof. It changes the entire rules. It doesn't
literally.
You know.
And kill switch, if you will, has been built into the tech to disable it after the conflict with the council sees us winning. But, so is it active now then? If we then decide to use these weapons against each other, they'll simply be disabled until we humans have learned enough to disable the kill switch, which could be thousands of years from now, for all I know. So again, they immediately counter their point where they're like, well, they decided to give it to us because it's better to do that and keep them intact than to not give it to them. But actually, they gave it to us, but also ensured that they can't kill each other with it anyway. So why I even brought that up in the first place is meaningless.
The funniest part is him starting with, look, I worked there. I know things, but I only scratched the surface of the onion. Anyway,
here's the deep lore.
Here's an extremely detailed layout of what's about to happen.
Here's what the president was thinking.
Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just a guy. I don't know anything. But here's what's going to happen over the next 2 years, guys. Like, oh, okay.
It's fucking, it's so stupid. And this shit took fire, has almost 10,000 upvotes. Like, it got 50 diamond emojis on Reddit, and you know that means a lot. So we're almost done here. They say, there's one more reason I am writing this now after pondering it for a long time, and it is more personal than the two-year clock. A friend of mine, someone I worked closely with inside the program, another EO specialist, had been talking quietly years ago about going to Congress. Not with everything, they were not suicidal. Just enough to force a real closed-door hearing in the Senate, yet the true nature of certain SAPs, which are special access programs, acknowledged on paper, make it harder to bury the whole subject under jokes and career threats. Over a year ago, I got word that they died. The official explanation has been vague and unsatisfying. So dumb. Medical complications on a trip to a black site in the Indian Ocean. Those medical complications do not match what I know about their health. Then it became an accident at home with no details anyone will put in writing. People who would normally be candid went very quiet very fast. Maybe it was just bad luck. People do die suddenly. But given the threats which are known about within certain IC sectors when one is associated with the subject, I don't know for sure. What I do know is that the last long conversation I had with them was about whether it was worth trying to talk to certain congressional staffers for a certain senator. After hearing recent news confirming publicly much of what I know to be true privately, I stopped telling myself I would wait and see how things played out. Life is short. So here we are, some stranger on the internet telling you an unbelievable story you are free not to believe. With roughly 2 years on the clock and the current rate of leaks and whistleblowers and half disclosures, it is very unlikely they keep all of this under wraps until the first time something openly not from here appears in our sky or our orbit. At some point before that happens, at least one major government, maybe more, is going to go public in the controlled way. My guess would be China or the US, but it could be one of the others on the scalar weapon list. Multiple countries have scalar weapons. You will likely get a very carefully worded announcement about unidentified aerial phenomena, about contact with non-human intelligences, about new defensive technologies and unprecedented international cooperation. It will be designed to manage panic and control the story. What you probably will not hear in the first round of briefings is the part about the Arids, the economic implications of their society's existence, the billion other habitable planets, the undersea infrastructure that has been here longer than we have had bones. You will not see anyone step up to a podium and say, oh, by the way, there is a branch of humanity that grew up without the idea of money and scarcity 10,000 years ago and advanced 5 millennia past us. That is why I am dumping this here, where people can ignore it, laugh at it, or save it and see how it ages. Like I said, you do not have to believe me. I'm not here to sell a book, go on a podcast, be on TV, or do UFO lectures or treat it as fiction, if that makes you feel more comfortable.
I just had a really good story to tell that I want to have fun with, and I hope you all
want
to
pitch this.
Easily could have prompted this in an AI and edited it. Like,
I'm really just here for the Reddit upvotes.
Seriously, which they got so many of.
I don't need anything else, guys.
What I am really trying to do is get you to think past the kiddie pool questions. Are UFOs real? Are the NHI good or evil? It's not the interesting part. The far more interesting questions are what happens to this planet once everyone knows we are being watched, that we have cousins around another star, that some of the basic assumptions we built our societies around were just one option, not a fundamental law of nature. If in a year or two you start hearing officials talk about our cousins among the stars or civilizations far older than ours and new non-kinetic systems and shared planetary defense, remember this post and see how well it fits. Look, the bugs are coming either way. The council is not going to save us directly. They already handed out the tools and they are watching to see what we do with them.
The bugs are coming either way, guys.
Literally. All right.
The part that is still up to us is what kind of world we build if we get through it. Will we all go back to work and beat each other over the head with really advanced sticks, or do we achieve a more enlightened potential? That's all I have, Rhea.
So, besides it just being a very fun story that someone has written, my big takeaway is, because he keeps asking, what happens if it's revealed to everyone there's a council that's been... I know what would happen, and I don't know if anyone else has the same vibe, but I feel like people would just be pissed. Not at the government, not at anything, be pissed at the council, but like, you've been here the entire time and you let us nuke each other, bro?
Dude.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, they'd be like, there's been people, millions of people have died of starvation. You didn't think to intervene? Oh, people would be pissed at the council. They'd be like, I hate you guys.
Or be pissed that our government decided communism was the reason.
I think people would be like, if you controlled all the governments and shit, then like, we don't care about them. Fuck all them. What are you doing? And
everybody would just politicize. Everybody would just politicize. It would be just the same shit. Yep. Like Godzilla monsters in Pacific Rim fall and there's like territory disputes and resource disputes because they're like,
are these aliens socialist communists? I'm just asking questions.
It did numbers, man. It made it way around the fucking Reddit. There was some like those side news sites reported about it and shit. Oh my God. It was fucking awful. And I'm just reading it. I'm like, why do people believe this shit? Anyway, that could be our minisode. That's 40 fucking minutes.
Yeah, that was the episode, okay, with me.
Yeah. All right. Thank you all so much for supporting us here at patreon.com. Let me know if the ocean floor changed over 2 billion years.
There's a link to a lot of comments also by the OP. If you go to the post, there's like one of the mods jumped in and like put all the Shadowban comments in a thread that they could find.
Okay, cool. I actually haven't looked at it since then. I can't imagine it's more convincing. I don't imagine it's more convincing.
I just love that
there's definitely a lot more
we got to watch out for.
Because
if it's bugs, dude, let's go, Super Earth. We can do this. I believe in the dream. Let's go.
People are saying it's like Scientology level lore.
It is. Oh, it 100% is.
It's insane. Anyway, thank you also for support here at patreon.com/IlluminatiPod. We'll be back next week with another one. We appreciate you. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Au revoir.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.